Good evening, everybody. Very exciting to see everybody on a Wednesday night. Maybe that'll be the new night we do Wednesday nights instead of Monday nights this semester, whatever. Secular music, all right? That's the topic for tonight. I stole Rav Aaron Lichtenstein's line in a shiur he gave to Rav Schechter's Kollel in the year 2009. Rav Lichtenstein's Zatzal said he was going to discuss matters related to secular literature, and he, in the speech, said this also applies to secular music. And he said, in one sentence, he had this catchy phrase where he said, we shall study both the futility and utility of this matter. I really wanted to steal his line, but my wife told me I can't. So she said I can quote him, but I can't name the shiur, like the utility and futility of secular music. But she said, you know, that would make me sound like it was my line. So it's Rav Lichtenstein's line. So I texted you all earlier without quoting Rav Lichtenstein, but that's what I texted earlier. So I have a Masorah on this Shaila from Rav Schechter, Shlita, Mori Verabi, Rav Meir Twersky, Mori Verabi, Rav Yisrael Kamenetsky, and I heard from Rav Lichtenstein on this topic. So it really means a lot to me, this topic. Number one, I grew up not as a Baal Teshuva. I always was, you know, Shomer Torah Mitzvos, but I grew up in a very, we'll say, growth-oriented home, whereby we started as a family, we'll say, very much involved with more secular music. And as my oldest brother, you know, and the whole movement of going to Israel for the year, let's just say my whole family kind of grew together. And let's just say we got more into Jewish music as opposed to secular music as a family. And I really grew up very educated about music. My father played the piano. I played the piano. My brother Rafi plays the piano. My brother Michael tried to play the piano. You know, we talk about it all the time. But it'll be the first one. He plays one song well. And we were always really musical. And like not only musical, we understood like the history and, you know, obviously we dealt with the classical pieces on the piano level, and my dad would teach us about music and, you know, modern stuff, classic rock. And it was wholesome. It wasn't just entertainment. It was a real part of our lives. And it meant a lot to me when I got a little older and more educated and more, we'll say, religiously committed. So it was very hard for me to drop secular music. And in the same way the Rambam in Hilchos Deos describes that some people who are in one extreme have to go to the other extreme to be balanced out in the end. So in my own life so far, I really kind of experienced that. So I grew up maybe in one extreme where I very much embraced all forms of secular music. And then when I got a little bit more quote-unquote intense, I probably went to the other extreme, no secular music at all. And now, at this point in my life, we'll talk about where I am right now, and we'll talk about why I got there, and a little 3-minute introduction about this year. But again, it's an important topic to me, and I'm excited to really talk about it this evening. But let's start with the Parsha. This week's Parsha is Shmos, and the Torah says, we know that Shifra and Pua were appointed, Vayomer Melech Mitzrayim L'Mialadosa Ivrios, Asher Shema Achas Shifra V'Shem Asher Nis Pua, Yomer, and what did Paro instruct him? Yalat chemes irvios irisimis alavnayim im benu amitzer oso imbat he v'chayes rachmanu letzlan. If they give birth to a boy, kill the boy. And we know that if it's a girl, you can save the girl. You don't have to kill the girl. So famously, we know that although the Torah refers to these two women as Shifra and Pua, Rashi says Shifra was Yocheved and Pua was Miriam. Now it's interesting to note that Rashi is quoting a Gemara in Mesechus Sota. Mesechus Sota, Daf Yud Aleph, and Beis, deals with the Yetzias Mitzrayim story. Often before the Pesach Seder, I will prepare the Seder by looking at Mesechus Sota because it has such nice, rich, midrashic material on the Mitzrayim story. And in that context, in Yud Aleph, and Beis, Mesechus Sota, there's a machlokas whether it was actually Yocheved and Miriam, or it was Yocheved, sorry, if it was Miriam, if it was Yocheved and her own daughter-in-law, the woman who would marry Aaron HaKohen, was Elisheva. So there's actually two opinions in the Gemara. The most famous opinion is that one quoted by Rashi, and the Gemara actually continues to support that opinion, that it was Yocheved and Miriam, mother and daughter. Now, what is the idea behind these names? If their names were really Yocheved and Miriam, why would the Torah refer to them as Shifra and Puah. So the word Shifra means to make the beautiful, to beautify the child, Shemesheferet Esavlat, she would clean the child. And Puah is a reference to, says Rashi, Shepoah Umedeberes V'hoga Lahavlad. She would seemingly make these soothing sounds to the baby. Kederach Hanashim Lefayis Tino Kaboka. So if the baby is crying, you will coo, make some form of pleasing sound, and I'm going to call it a lullaby. And the lullabies come up in the Shulchan Aruch? You bet so. And this is going to be the segue to our shir. Oh, here's the segue. Says the Sefer HaChasidim, Mishayishlo ben katan, mutal ba'arisa. If you have a little kid in a crib, kidei shalo yivke. You don't want the kid to cry. Lo yuraninu lo shirim v'zmiro shel goyim. Don't sing secular music to the baby, even if your only intention is to stop the baby or prevent the baby from crying. Now, it should be noted, he also says don't sing Jewish music either. It's a whole shayla as it is about whether or not you're allowed to use psukim or whatever as song. But he goes on and writes, V'chol shem menagnim b'fnei avodah zara. Sorry, all the negunim, V'chol shem menagnim b'fnei avodah zara. Any song that is used, let's say in the context of avodah zara, like a church, you know, carol or whatever, lo yaseh so nigun hakadosh baruch hu. And this alludes to a very similar sugya, namely, can a secular, or in this case, an avodah zara song be converted to a Jewish song? So we're not going to delve into that part of the sugya this evening. But for example, it is known that in the Lubavitch world, the original Alter Rebbe was so inspired when he heard the tune used for Napoleon's army, that he wanted to use that tune for Yamim Noraim. And there are many, many, many tunes that we're all familiar with whose origins were far from Jewish, just to say the least. And that is its own separate shir about whether or not it is ideal, okay, not at all okay, to like convert songs, yeah. Okay, very good. So the Maccabees, that's like what they do, mamash. And sometimes they don't even necessarily convert it, meaning they'll just kind of sing it in their own way without even changing the words. Necessarily. I don't know. I'm sure there's a range. Sometimes they'll transfer all the words. Sometimes they won't. I don't know. But that's, you know, we'll just kind of a brief reference to that topic. But isn't it amazing that the Sefer HaChasidim said that you can't even calm a child down through a secular song? Well, wow, pretty intense. Very good. So the Sefer Chasidim is not always, again, often the Mishnah Berurah will quote the Sefer Chasidim, but it's not always the bottom line. However, the Mishnah Berurah in his Shar HaTziyun says a very similar thing. In Simen Tav Kuf Samach, the Shulchan Aruch is dealing there with the general prohibition of listening to music, which we in our community don't really subscribe to. After the Beis Hamikdash was destroyed, there were a few enactments to remember that we are in the Golus. One of them was no more music, especially with instruments. And in that context, the Shar HaTziyun is writing, Mizmoros, Mizamros, Kidei Lishon HaTinok, Shapir Dami. It is okay to sing in order to allow a baby to fall asleep. V'gam halo midivrei Shulchan Aruch, Mashmet Einu Isser Bepeh El Al Hayayin. And again, even from the Shulchan Aruch, there was never an issue with a cappella, you know, non-instrumental music, if it's just with your mouth, umihu, kvar hizhir hashla, v'shari sifrei musar shalom l'zamer shirei agavim l'tinok. So even though we're going to allow you to sing to a baby, despite the issue with playing music, you could sing to a baby, but that doesn't mean you could sing anything to a baby. If there's what he's going to call shirei agavim, we'll use that loosely as inappropriate music. Music that might have, we'll say, intimate overtones or something like that, or foul language. She's a molid Latino teva ra. If you sing songs to babies that come from, we'll say, a place of tumma, of impurity, on a metaphysical, deeper level, that will have an impact on the baby's neshama, and therefore don't do it. And in general, you shouldn't be doing that either. Forget the baby. In general, there's a prohibition to delve into music that is, we'll say, perverted, or, you know, we'll have nivol peh, to come magu yetzahar benafshe. If you sing, we'll say, a song that is enticing, so that's going to arouse the yetzahara, and that would be always inappropriate to sing. Wow. So here we have two halachic sources. The Sefer Chasidim, as Adam said of Chasidi Ashkenaz, is a nice older source, but not necessarily as halachically binding all the time. Here you have the Shaar HaTzion, who's saying you could sing to children, but not, we'll say, dirty songs. Okay, all right. You know, that's seemingly already somewhat intuitive. Sefer Chasidim was more machmer because he said any secular song. He didn't say, you know, dirty songs. He said any secular song. And the Sefer Chasidim is consistent. Elsewhere he writes, let's say you have a nice voice. So you know what? You're going to be tempted to make music. You're going to be tempted to make money. V'yizar mi sheish lo kol na'im, shelo yizar min igunim nachurim. Ki averehi. Wow. This is a bold term. Says the Sefer Chasidim, it's an avera to sing secular music. U'lekach nevar kol na'im, l'shevach borov, v'lo la'avera. Why did Hashem give you a good voice? To praise the Ribono Shalom, not for you to go sing wherever and make money. Wow. So if I were to ask you, what do you think the halachic approach to secular music should be? What would you say? We just saw some, we'll say, intense makoros. The most extreme of them, the Sefer Chasidim, who said it's an avera to sing secular music. And the same rabbi, same author, Sefer Chasidim, said you can't sing secular music to your kids, even to let them fall asleep. So what would you say, what would you say is the best approach to this secular? Anyone want to?
Selective.
Oh, of course. Okay. Yeah, meaning, it says Peter, it's very hard to trafe up all secular music. I don't even know if that's possible. Let's say someone would want to take piano lessons, right? So what does that mean? How are they going to learn how to play piano? They're going to have a very hard time learning. If you know what I'm saying, like, right. There is no concept almost of music, anything, if you only limit yourself to, Jewish music. And even Jewish music, we don't even realize is so connected to modern sound. And I don't think there has ever been a smaller gap between secular music and Jewish music in terms of just the sound. Recently, I was at, the TABC dinner was just last week or so, and they came out with a music video, original composition. TABC students are very proud of all the various talents of our Talmidim, whether it's academic or in Torah or in whatever, sports and certainly music. We have a whole studio, and they publish, they come out with singles. And, you know, if you listen to the words, it is true, they'll say, Kol Yisrael Arim Zeh, Bazeh, like once in the song or twice. But the song is about that the TABC family is a family, and it's a nice music video, and it's a very good feel kind of thing. But like the beat, the melody is far from Hasidish. We'll say it like that. Like no one would say it's a uniquely Jewish sound. That being said,
is there any problem with the beat? It's usually the word.
Right. So says Peter, what was the problem with that? You know, and it's very common nowadays for the Jewish artists to have a very fast-paced beat, which, you know, gets people wanting to dance and stuff, you know, almost like bat mitzvah music. You know, I would say it's a good way to categorize, like, the whole goal of a bat mitzvah, like DJs, to get, like, you know, the seventh grade or sixth grade girls just to jump up and down on the dance floor. So you need the music to be lively, right? And they also don't want to have a bat mitzvah with just secular music, obviously. So there's a lot of Jewish music that's like that, you know. Classically, we'd call it maybe like jock jams, you know, like sport music, whatever, just to get people to get pumped, you know. So Peter says you have to be selective. Very good. Anyone else want to take a stab at it, like another equation? What do you say? All right, everyone. Anyone disagree with Peter? No. Maybe have a little bit more. Maybe have an intense approach to this or no? Okay, AV is exposed to, we'll say, you know, I would imagine that there are those who would say all secular music is treif. I'm not going to put it in AV's mouth. But is that?
No, not all secular. All music, unless it's.
Ah, very good. Okay, so he's even more chayiv than I thought. Very good. All right, now who paskins like the Sefer Chasim? So the Shailas Shuvas Lahoras Natan, Lahoras Nasan. So an amazing sefer, and he was born in the 1930s. He makes his way to Bnei Brak, and I think he was a big talmid of Rav Shach, if I'm not mistaken. And ironically, the person who asked him this tshuva is Rav Yaakov Moshe Hillel, who himself ends up becoming a pretty outspoken rabbi later in his own life about this particular topic. So it makes sense that he was the one asking the question. Rav Yaakov Moshe Hillel is a very famous rabbi who is the Rosh Yeshiva of a Kabbalah yeshiva in Eretz Yisrael. And he was born in the 1940s, but he's 77 years old today. So ultimately, again, we're talking about a pretty big Torah personality nowadays. He was asking the question at the time. And believe it or not, the Shuvos Lahoras Nasan says, listen, look at the Sefer Chasidim. And it really seems to say in that Sefer that all secular music cause bad things to happen. Wow. And we know the Gemara in Yevamos, the Gemara Yishalmi, says, do you know what happened over there? That Rabbi Yeshua, what did his mother do? What did his mother do? Brought him as a baby where? To the Beis Knesset. Now, why did Rabbi Yeshua's mother bring him to the Beis Knesset as a baby? So that the words of Torah would go into the baby's ears. So what do we see? That even if you're a baby, the music around you has an impression, and it will impact your neshama. So therefore, you can't deny the fact that your surroundings affect you, and music is a very powerful tool. So the Lahoras Nasan paskins u'mash v'dachom minei shivei nachem avei rehi lezamram u'be'emes kei nohagim yirei Hashem lizor shalol l'shir shivei goy. Wow. So I think it's important to start the shiur this evening with this, we'll call it, extreme opinion, that all secular music is treif. And I don't think there's anyone who would say that that's not it's not a legitimate opinion. And I would say most people would say it's a madriga to strive for, to only listen to Jewish music and to really not listen to any secular music. Almost everybody would say that's a wonderful midah to strive for. And that is the first opinion we're going to just kind of highlight this evening. And I went for a few years of my life, say Shana Aleph, Shana Bet, all the years of life, dare I say it was a good 10 years, 8 to 10, something like that, where I really didn't listen to any secular music. Yeah, I have to realize that I was so into music that I really needed to kind of do extra work to kind of break that habit. And I don't know, I was always a good kid. I was never addicted or whatever, but it was important to me to kind of teach myself that I was in control almost. So in a similar vein, I want to point out that the Rambam has a tshuva about this. And my Rebbe, Rav Meir Tversky, I hope he still does this, on Thursday nights, late in the night, would give these machshava shiurim. Like, he would kind of go off the record. And just, you know, Rav Tversky unfiltered is like the best. I learned so much from Rav Meir Tversky, and I still am very much in touch with him today. And he spoke about secular music, and the line he said was that there's a tshuva of the Rambam about this, and he said a Jewish ear is a Jewish ear, and not everything should go into a Jewish ear. And that he referenced this tshuva of the Rambam. And I want to just point out that the Rambam himself, in a tshuva, and by the way, what I love about this tshuva is that it was written very late in the Rambam's life. He quotes his own Mor Nevuchim, which means this is like the old Rambam, like the Rambam in his elder age. And he says, let's just talk about bad stuff. It's asur lishma divrei tipshus, anything that's just stupidity, even if it's not a song. If you're singing stupidity with instruments, he says there are three isurim. Number one, it's stupidity. Nevelas peh. And you're not supposed to do that. So it's the stupidity plus the music, which again, the Rambam holds that you're not supposed to listen to music after the Chormez HaMidosh. And if there's wine, it's really bad. Oh gosh. So again, what is it? He said there's the music, there's the instruments, there's the stupidity, is the foul language, and if a woman is singing, forget about it. So he basically points out that you can amass quite a few legitimate isurim pretty quickly if you're listening to the wrong type of music. And there says the Rambam, we are a goy kadosh, v'lo yelanu ma'aseh v'lo dibur ele b'shlemus, oba mashemevi el hashlemus. We're Jews. And that means we should always be growing and we should be going towards Hashem specifically. And if the music you're listening to is pointless and counterproductive, it's not what a Jew should be doing. V'lo shena ora hakochas amonim min kol tuv. So what are you doing by engrossing with items that are in your way? They're getting in the way of your growth. Yeah, AB, what do you think?
In those days, until recent times, if you wanted to listen to music, you would have to go to where the music was being performed.
Very true.
You wouldn't be able to drive a car and listen to music.
Very good.
You wouldn't do other things that you have music in the background. There was no such thing as music you're listening to, but you're busy.
Very good. Background music was not a thing. It was the activity itself. Very good. Very good. So therefore, you want to say we should be more lenient because it's just background?
We should be more lenient, maybe not with the content, but with the actual uvda.
Very good. Very good. You're saying we're going to get there at the end. Very good. So AB's pointing out just the way we listen to music nowadays is less intense. It's less focused. It's background. It's you're trying to get work done. You're trying to whatever, exercise, whatever it is.
Yeah. Dad, you can't go to a concert.
Oh, but AB would say it's very different than going to a concert, yeah.
So going a little bit off the topic of music, wouldn't those reasons all apply to going to a sporting event as well?
Yeah.
That's all background music.
The point is that...
No, going to a sporting event for the sporting event.
Right. Well, you're saying. So my Rebbe, Ramir Tursky at the time, was calling it Bittelsmann. That shiur was about Bittelsmann. So you have to really ask yourself why you're going to the sporting events. So Robert's saying, if there's no real justification, if it's to bond with your kid, you know, a family member, I could see it being very important. I know plenty of, we'll say, very respected rabbanim who go to games, very respected rabbanim. So I wouldn't carry it over just yet to ball games. But I don't know my own Rebbeim who listen to secular music, and I do exercise to very limited secular music. We'll talk about it. And I would say it is a genuine generation gap, I would say, between the generation of my Rebbeim and myself, dare I say. It's that new, in my opinion, that none of my Rebbeim listen to secular music, and I would say that when I how do I know? I just know. There's just no way. I can't fathom my own. I just can't fathom. No, I know. Trust me, I know. I know my Rebbeim, I know the cars, and I know. I hear what you're saying, but I know the deal. And I've spoken with them about the topic. So, but I think, AB, it speaks to your question that music has changed so much, and because it's so part of our lives, that's why it makes sense.
Because it's so portable.
Right, it's so accessible, right. Okay, so let's quickly point out that obviously it depends on the content of the music, as the Rama basically just said. So who was famous for going off the derech? Listening to Greek music, Acher, Rav Elisha ben Avuya. So Acher, Ma'ale Gemara Maseches Chagiga Tesvav and Beis, says, what was his issue? Why did Rav Elisha ben Avuya, who we know as Acher, go off the derech? And the Gemara says, Zemer Yevani lo pasik mipume. He never stopped singing Greek songs. And there was also found on him books of heresy, books of minus. They would fall out of his bag, whatever. He wanted to cover them up and imagine, you know, dropping a book and awkwardly, it's, say a Plato or, you know, again, but like the really bad stuff. So the Marsha, as opposed to Rashi, does not understand that Gemara is referring to the general prohibition of listening to music after the Churban Beis HaMikdash. The Marsha says the reason that was a problem was not that Acher was listening to music, but it was the problem that he was listening to Greek music. The Marsha says it's a reference to the Gemara in Maseches Merubah, I'm sorry, in Parak Maruba, right? Meseches Babakal, the seventh parak, where the Chachmas Yavanis Asura, that the Chachma of Yavan is Asura, meaning if you learn books that will lead you to heresy, to question God's existence, we'll say the really dangerous philosophical works of the atheists, stuff like that, that was Acher's problem, and that's why it fits very well with the fact that they found books of Minim on him. Ah, so now all of a sudden, can we get a kula out of this? if Acher's problem was only the type of music, and it's the same issue as Chachma Yevanis, so do we ever dabble in secular knowledge? So maybe all of a sudden you can what? You can treat this sugya in the same way that we treat the sugya of general studies, of dabbling in any secular culture. We study math and we encourage the arts and all of the college stuff, as long as it's within quote-unquote reason. Not all of it, certainly within reason. There's no question about that.
Didn't the Rav have a PhD in philosophy? I can't imagine that he didn't study
all sorts of stuff all
over the place.
Totally, yeah. The Rav Soloveitchik, it's a huge part of this sugya. So let's just digress into that for a second. Number one, I asked Rav Schechter, we'll get there. We'll get there. Sam? No, you're right. Sam, you're right. Let me just say, otherwise I'm going to go crazy if I go out of order. All right, here we go. So what does the Midrash famously say? That Goyim have Chachma, but they don't have Torah. The Midrash in the Eicha Rabba says, if someone tells you Yesh Chachma b'Goyim, you can believe such a person. But if someone says Yesh Torah b'Goyim, Al Ta'amin. It's not okay. So what do we see? We're allowed to believe that there's wisdom in the Goyim. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to tell you the Rav Soloveitchik approach, the Rav Lichtenstein approach, and then we'll circle back a little bit. I was mechavin, again, not to Rav Lichtenstein's title of this year, but I always thought, like Rav Lichtenstein on this, I thought that you can treat secular music like secular studies. And if it's kosher and it's insightful and if it's meaningful, what's the difference between a poem who writes and a poem who sings? Meaning these are writers. The songwriters are writers, very talented musicians. And it should be noted, like even in Rav Shlomo Zalman Auerbach's writings, he'll say that you can listen to classical music during the 9 days and the 3 weeks. So meaning seemingly like classical music was not a shelus. You can argue that it's very, very legitimate to say that there are types of music that are kind of kosher, almost according to all authorities, assuming music itself is not treif, and which is what we do assume, against Rav Moshe Feinstein. But that's a whole separate sugya. So I always thought that there should be room for an open-minded approach to secular music, and that's why Rav Lichtenstein's approach was so rewarding to me, so like refreshing to me, because guess what Rav Lichtenstein spoke about when it came to the Y-based measures, and it's just Rav Schechter's Kollel in the year 2009, which is very much at the end of Rav Aharon's life. It was probably the last time Rav Aharon was on the YU campus, I would guess. And Rav Aharon Zatzal said that exposing yourself to the great writers and the great composers can very much enhance the personality and can very much enhance one's spirituality. And he said, again, one does have to discern between the futility and the utility. But one cannot deny that and this is what I totally related to. There are certain coping mechanisms that can only be developed through some of these arts. I'll tell you a story. I once was going through a very challenging episode of work. I'm not going to say which organization. And it was between me and another person. And I was very close to, quote unquote, burning a bridge with someone. To basically saying to myself, this person is not treating me properly. This person is essentially not trustworthy. And I want to kind of cut off my relationship with this person. It's not good for me. And I went jogging. And I was listening to a song. And the song was a secular song by a band that I would never want my children to listen to. And dare I say 95% of that stuff I would never listen to. One song that they came out with maybe in 20 years I would listen to, but I knew their stuff from the days before I had Smicha. And there's one song I very much connect to on a very deep level. And only because of that song did I not have a mean, angry approach to that relationship. And I cannot tell you the long-term benefits of that anger management. Now you could say, if I was really from, I would have been able to have done that without the song. And the Mesilas Hashem should have been good enough for me. But you know what?
Oh, didn't Alicia have nothing?
Very good. Right, so even Shaul HaMelech needed David to sing to him and play the harp. So you said we have examples in Tanakh where people needed to be kind of put in the right mindset through music. Right? Yeah, there's no question about that.
That's
all Chassidim. Yeah.
Chassidim, and we keep calling when Moshe says no music. Well, of course not, because it's not possible.
So my approach is, I would say, a combination between Rav Arnon and Rav Tursky. Rav Tursky basically said, a ben Torah doesn't listen to secular music, your ear is too holy. And, you know, I totally hear that, and I agree with Meir, because I would never listen to 98% of the stuff that's out there. And, you know, just recently I was speaking at the Tisch with Nissim Black. He's like a professional rapper. And, you know, I told him to his face, I was like, rap is trafe. You know, I obviously was speaking, because his rap is Mamish Kodesh Kodesh, right? But, like, a rap song is forbidden. It's forbidden. You know what I'm saying? Again, obviously there's one kosher rap song every 4,000 years. But ultimately, you know, so much of the music out there is Glot shreif. And I never want to forget that line of Rameir Tversky, your ear is too holy. That being said, I totally hear Rav Aaron Lichtenstein's point that these guys, they know how to write. And there's a brilliance there. And I know from just my knowledge of this stuff, a lot of the best musicians are orphans, say victims of abuse, people who have a lot of emotional stuff. And they take it out through their art. Remember the best line, that Johnny Cash movie. He wrote a song and he needed to be kind of, before he became Johnny Cash, the guy looked at him and was like, who are you? He said, I don't want to audition for you. And Johnny Cash innocently asked him, do you have anything against the Air Force? And the guy who worked for the record label said, no. You know what Johnny Cash said? Well, I do. And his song was about his negative experience in the U.S. Army. So there's a lot of, like, raw emotion there. Now, that's dangerous. It's dangerous. You're not supposed to be angry. But you know what? It also can help you cope with your anger. And it's a very strong tool. It's a very strong tool. Okay. So, not for now. Let's just conclude quickly. We have 3 minutes. So there is a story that happened on a Motzei Tisha B'Av with Rav Shechter. If you ever want to get a cool out of any rabbi ever, you ask him on Motzei Yom Kippur or Motzei Tisha B'Av. So I'm walking with Rav Shechter from the Kotel. I said, Rebbe, you think rabbis or people should wear a hat nowadays? Said, no. I said, Rebbe, okay, this is good. Yeah. What about secular music? He said, no secular music. He said, someone once bought him tickets to the symphony. He had to go. You want whatever? He said it was a German composer. He's like, I felt like I was watching the Nazis march. It's like I felt the Germans in the symphony. And he was like the Shita of Rav Nachman of Breslov. Now, I thought I was so smart, pairing Rav Shechter and Rav Nachman of Breslov together. You know who else did it? Rav Arye Leibowitz. There's like nothing he doesn't know. Like I thought I was like so cool that I knew this Rav Shechter. I thought I was so creative. I put it together as Rav Sichas and Rav Nachman. Rav Arye Leibowitz said the same exact thing. And because my friend Eli Newman is a big Breslover, and he taught me this Rav Nachman, and I had the story of the Rav Shechter. What does Rav Nachman say? Rav Nachman would be Breslover, and Likutei Maharan, Torah Gimel. That anytime you listen to a song, you're connecting to the neshama of the composer. So if the composer is a Rasha, you're connecting to the Rasha. If the composer is a Tzaddik, you can get. So Rav Shechter said, what are you doing connecting your neshama with a bad person? Like, stay away. So even like in the case where I got over that anger with that secular guy, right? The secular song. Very deep song, but you know what? That guy, you know, has done drugs. That guy represents really bad stuff. Okay. He's a good guy in the secular sense of the sense, but like, he's a rock and roll guy, you know what I'm saying? He has tattoos, you know, like, he's not like our role model, you know? So Rav Shechter's like, what are you doing? So that's the Rav Shechter approach, like Machmer also. But there's a Gemara Maseches Sota. And Rav Huna says that different types of songs are okay. If it's the Zimra, the Nagdi, or the Bakri, that's Shari. Who are these guys? The people who had very hard jobs. They would pull ropes on ships, or they would do hard work on farms or whatever. And you know why it's okay? Because it got them through their hard job. And there's an amazing tshuva of the Gaonim. And I only know this tshuva because my friend Morty Pruss, Rabbi Morty Pruss, he made Aliyah. He quoted this tshuva in a sefer we wrote in Shana Aleph. You know what the tshuva of the Gaonim says? Those hardworking individuals, they were singing songs to get them through the hard day of work. And what were the songs? They were secular songs. And it got them through their day. So I think that's what music is nowadays. I think when people listen to music, it's just to get them through the day. I think people have so much anxiety and so much stress. And to me, that's really what we're doing. So I think the tone of the sugya in my ear, at least, from the tshuva of the Gaonim, is that if the music is kosher in terms of the lyrics and is productive for you, whether it gets you through the stress, gets you through it, then...
Yes,
I think if it's productive, if it's background... So the way I approach it, if it's when I exercise and it's clean and it's productive because it enhances my jog and will calm me down a little bit, it has my bracha, but I'm pretty intense in terms of my screening, meaning I look at the lyrics before I listen to any secular music. I want to know what it's about. I very much support my talmidim who are into kosher secular music, and it's a great bonding experience for me and them. But again, it's a case-by-case kid. You have to know the kid, you have to know the song, and you have to know the motive. All right, let's down, Marv.